Hello and welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. So, Graham, you've got a mobile phone in front of you. Don't you just hate it when you get sales messages coming in through text?
Well, the people who've got my number, not really, because basically I'm kind of expecting them. But yeah, I get what you're meaning. You know, if it's unsolicited and so forth, that would probably hack me off a little bit. But maybe things are different in other parts of the world. And one of the things that we've got is one of the world's experts when it comes to sales messaging. And he runs a business called salesmessage.com. And he is Chris Bryce. I want to say Son. I've got that wrong, Chris. So just tell us how to pronounce your name.
That's fine. Chris Brisson. So.
Brisson. There we
go. There you go.
He told me not more than about 2 minutes before we started.
Yeah, we
and
are.
I still got it wrong. I don't understand this. I mean, it's
another one for the outtakes.
Well, no, I'll leave it in because everybody knows me by now. So, Chris.
I'm glad you are at this part of the show.
Yeah, Chris, welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, you're in South Florida.
Yep.
Why there?
Born and raised. Yeah. So I was born in South Florida, so a town called Boynton Beach. I live in a town called Delray Beach. But yeah, born and raised. You know, I'm looking outside. It's beautiful today, even though I'm wearing a little cardigan here. office, it's really cold, but it's nice and toasty today.
Were you born on one of those sort of boards that they, you know, use on the sea? I mean, is that a
surfboard?
A, sort of thing, a surfboard? That's right. Again, I'm forgetting my words. A surfboard.
Yeah.
Were you brought up with surfboards?
Not really. No, but I grew up surfing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still surf when there's waves and all. But yeah.
And what else do you do in Florida? Presumably, you can shoot people, and that'll keep you amused for a few hours a week. You know,
yeah.
Apart from that, I mean, what else do you do there?
Yeah. So, what else do I do? I've got two kids, so they're 11 and 9. I do a lot of cheerleading with them, so
okay.
So they do a lot of cheerleading right now. But yeah, what do I do down here? Just building companies and. Yeah, just being with my family and kids
you,
and all.
You, from what we know about you already, is you've had some. You started a business, didn't quite work out. You started again, and did quite work out. So basically, give us an idea of your past and that and what that told you about business. So that now with salesmessage.com, you're knocking it out of the park. So tell us a little bit about the not so good first.
Yeah. I kind of got started young. So I started my first company accidentally. So I was about 18 years old. And I ended up getting rims and tires for my car. So my Mustang. And lo and behold, 2 years later, I was broke. I didn't have any money to pay my $250 rent. And so, but I had wheels on my car. And so my friend says, hey, you know, why don't you take a look at eBay? Maybe you can sell your wheels on eBay to pay your rent. Oh. And so this is 2002, a long time ago. So I ended up going on eBay and I found the wheels that I got for $468. They were selling them for $1,000. And so prior to that, actually, in order to get those wheels for wholesale, I ended up calling up a wholesaler that had these rims. And I told them that I worked at, it's called Boca Tinton Tunes. And so I called up saying I wanted to get some wheels for a customer. And ultimately I got them for myself. And so that was like the first foray into wholesaling. And so ended up going on eBay, finding that they were selling for a lot more than I got them. And it was like an aha moment, like, oh my gosh, I could be selling these wheels on eBay. And so that was it. That was sort of my first company. Ended up growing that a couple years into the business, ended up selling that company in 2005. I had a three-bay warehouse. I was shipping stuff all over the country, but I did not like the inventory. I got broken into. You know, I'm shipping stuff half around the world, these big tires and wheels and everything. And so, and I was also doing everything myself. So I ended up selling that company and just, I vowed never again to sell physical stuff. And so I went down this journey to discover and learn everything I could about internet marketing. I'm like, well, I like the internet. There's obviously stuff, I'm selling on eBay. eBay was a marketplace, so it was easy. I didn't have to learn marketing or selling. There were some tips and tricks I learned along the way. But ultimately, I then fell in love with marketing and copywriting. I learned how to design and, you know, create websites with HTML and Dreamweaver. This is, you know, 2005-ish. And so, you know, through that, started to create some different products and wrote books and created courses and just tried to figure out everything I could. And for me, it was just, I loved it because I got to learn. I got to study. Yeah. I got to do things. I got to launch products and create products and do all that. And then I ultimately fell into software. So Calloop was a company, actually still exists today. Started that in 2009. And Calloop was and still is sort of an outbound calling and text message platform. And so there's a whole story about that and how ultimately where sales message came to be. We could certainly get into.
That's where you're at now, isn't it? Sales message. Yeah. Okay. Kevin started all this on a real Debbie Downer. I mean, crikey. He's trying to goad me into saying, no, I don't want a text from you. But isn't that the default setting for everybody when they receive text, an unsolicited text? I don't want that. Is that one of the big problems that your clients face using your service?
Not really. No, I mean, look, at the end of the day, the way that people connect today is through SMS, right? So there's three different channels. Like, how are you going to actually get in touch with somebody? Yeah. So whether that's a customer filling out a contact form or buying a product, you're going to have calling, you're going to have email, and you're going to have text messaging. And so, sure, there's WhatsApp and Facebook and, you know, direct mail, but really those are the three main channels. And so when calling doesn't work, which more and more people aren't picking up their phone calls. I mean, my voicemail inbox is flooded of voicemails I'll never listen to. I mean, every day I'm just like, I don't pick up the phone. And then email, you know, is bankrupt for a lot of people. And so SMS is really sort of this last final frontier where it is clean. And so at least in the United States, there's, you know, compliance around which businesses can send text messages. Now, spammers are always going to figure out how to take advantage of that. And so there are those unsolicited texts. You know, I get these ones about there's a job opening and this and that. And so there are people taking advantage of texting just like any other channel.
I mean, if you get into a relationship, Chris, with somebody, yeah, and you give them the permission to send you a text or an SMS, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And that's expected. And we do that all the time. It's the, Kevin's a really good target for this, I don't know, t-shirt company. So basically, Kevin's a good target for the t-shirt company. So basically, we're going to send him some fresh sort of white t-shirts that look really stylish, as opposed to his blue ones that perhaps don't. So basically, what you know, if he gets a text from somebody who he doesn't know, he's going to react, isn't he? Negatively.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, like, it's illegal to do that. So you can't just grab a list, start sending text messages. And so, you know, it's a regulated space. So now if somebody in India or wherever in the world, they could do that. Right. And then what are you left with? But, you know, for any real business that's building a company, building a brand, the relationship is the most important thing. So the last thing you want to do is just start blasting people that never opted in, never requested anything. That's a very fast way to destroy that, you know, that goodwill and that relationship you have. So everything is really opt-in.
Okay. So that's good news. And Kevin is going to be a lot happier with that, because in fairness, I opt into certain things, and therefore I'm more than willing to accept the messages that have come back now.
Yeah.
So all you basically have the platform, don't you? You salesmessage.com is the platform for which marketers use to get their messages out in an adroit way. So basically, tell us a little bit more about the functionality of salesmessage.com.
Yeah. So it really sort of stemmed from, like, this company was birthed through the frustration of the previous company, which was Calloop. Or Calloop was really one way mass messaging. there was no way to for people to reply. And so it was a sort of black hole. So there wasn't two-way conversations. And so as I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, I am using texting for my own phone. I really want a simple way to not use my own phone, but use a platform so I can send and receive texts online from my computer. And then more importantly, integrate it into my CRM. So at the time I was using Infusionsoft, now we're using HubSpot. So like any other channel, I want to be able to automate it, track it, build it in. And so Sales Message integrates into, you know, HubSpot, Salesforce, Pipedrive, you know, a lot of different integrations to do two-way text messages. So I'll give you an example, right? On your website, you have a contact form or a lead form. You're asking for a name, an email address, and a mobile phone. Yeah. Somebody fills it out. And traditionally, you would just capture that data. You would send an email. And then good luck, you know, trying to engage with that person. Well, now, if somebody fills it out, they, you know, in less than a minute, they get a text message. And now you take it straight to SMS. And so that person can reply back. You can reply back right from your computer. So all that can be automated. We did build some AI agents that will have these real human-like conversations using your own sort of brand voice and stuff. That's all new right now on the AI side. But, you know, that's how people use it, which is this idea of speed to lead. So if you have somebody that's really interested, you know, how are you going to engage with them in real time? And the cell phone is the best way to do that over SMS.
In that initial, and that's a really good point, but in that initial, I've sent a text. I'm kind of looking for an answer. What is the typical answer they're looking for? What's that first, I don't know what you call it, the first level of engagement, that first, the first backward.
Yeah. So what we like to say is, so for example, let's say, I don't know, you're a real estate investor or something like that. And so somebody comes in, they fill out a form, they're interested in whatever it is, right? Your property or what have you. And so you're capturing some information, but there's other qualifying information you want to understand. Hey, is this somebody worthy of booking a meeting or, you know, moving to that next stage in the process, right? And so one of the questions is, well, first of all, if you make a statement, then there's no responsibility for someone to reply, right? So if you just say, hey, thanks for filling out the form. Great, right? Like, what's the point? But if you say, hey, thanks for filling this out. Notice that you're interested in this property. Are you interested in residential or commercial real estate? And so you just grease the chute to start this conversation. And what you'll find is, you know, very quickly people are open to those responses, right? They're open to have that dialogue. And so you can start to qualify. So for us, we have some qualifying questions that we could put on a form, right? But we also lean into an SMS conversation. So there's a lot of ways that you can use it. That's just sort of one, which is like a web form. Yeah. But if you're, you know, we've got speakers that use it. So they're in front of an audience of 300 people. How do you sort of take that audience and then convert them into really, you know, sending a text or scanning a QR code? And through that, you can capture an email, a name, you know, other custom information. So you can turn it into like a lead gen opportunity.
It must be quite frustrating because, I mean, Kevin and I are of a certain age. You know, we get texting. It's when they send one of these little icons.
Emoji?
An emoji. What are you supposed to, I mean, how do you, presumably you've trained your AI agents to recognize that, well, if they send you that pile of brown stuff, then they're maybe not interested. You know, I don't know. Is there some sort of universal sort of language of emojis, you know, understanding an emoji from a response point of view?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. I would imagine AI is pretty smart to know if you're going to send a poop emoji. You know, that could be fun. That could be also be, you know, it could mean something else. But, you know, any sort of language, what's cool about it is, you know, one, you can have a human respond, right? Yeah. So just as if we're texting back and forth. But AI is pretty smart. And more importantly, is you sort of feed it your knowledge. And so everything about your company, you could upload docs, pricing, your website. And so now your AI brain knows a lot about and pretty much everything about your business. And then you can set the tone. So it could be, you know, is it friendly? Is it nice? Is it professional? Is it cute? Is it emoji driven? You know, And so you get to set that that tone of the response that you really want.
So is your job, is your challenge in life not only to bring people to your platform, which is that pays the bills, but basically is the challenge to get them to be this marketer that you've grown into, to get them to see the potential? And is every day a new day when you're learning about your own platform? Because I can imagine it is. Years ago, I worked for Lego, and we had a phrase, Lego, a new toy every day. In effect, you've got a new toy every day with salesmessage.com. So effectively, you'll find new ways of actually, and maybe it's evolving as well. Maybe texting is evolving. And you still say SMS as well. I mean, that's quite cute of you, really, to say that. Nobody says that. Americans, maybe. I don't know. But it still is evolving then, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably similar to you with like Lego. You know, there's really cool ways that we just see people use it all the time. And, you know, one interesting way is, you know, texting is text. But it can also be pictures, it can be GIFs, it could be video, it could be audio. And so you have this sort of more richer experience. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the cool things we've seen customers do is, you know, how do you initially build a relationship? You can do it over text, but what's even greater is you can send a video or you can send an animated GIF. So for example, when somebody, you know, becomes a customer, we hand it off to customer support. We have a text message that goes out. And it's an animated GIF, just a picture of their customer success agent. And so, oh, that's Sarah or that's Nick. And so now you can just immediately get right to that relationship. So who am I going to talk to? Who is, you know, who's this person? And a picture and a video goes a long way. And all that stuff can be automated. So, you know, that's just a way to, how do you get closer to the experience you want to create? And through more richer, you know, platform, you can certainly do that. I mean, there's stuff all the time. Like I was, I don't know, you know, one of the cool things you can do is more do dynamic audio. So for example, you know, we were a calling platform. And so let's say you call in and if we recognize that it's Graham, we could greet it and say, "Hey Graham, thanks for calling Sales Message." If it's somebody we don't know, we could be like, "Hey, thanks for calling Sales Message." So now we can add this more personalization to it. So, you know, I think
if
the future.
If Kevin rings you, what I want you to say is, "Sorry, we're not in today, Kevin."
you could do that.
Enough of your sort. We've got too many accountants in our lives. We don't want another one. But sorry, Kevin.
Now, interesting thing here. Are we talking purely SMS here? Or can we send messages through other texting tools such as WhatsApp?
Yeah, not yet. So we don't do WhatsApp, but WhatsApp is certainly a more international platform, but soon to be.
Right, so you're working on that. So, okay, well, and that, okay, so you've got a texting platform. You make it easy for people to integrate back into their CRMs. Is it predominantly customer service or is it predominantly lead generation?
Yeah, so it's all the above. So sales, marketing, customer support. So we sort of have a framework, right? Most people think like, well, how do I use texting? Oh, I'm used to it in this way. And so when, you know, we talk about texting, texting plays a part in the entire life cycle of a business. Yeah. So what I mean by that is it's actually a framework we call Textize Your Business. And so because texting is so powerful, it is the way in which to engage, you know, quickest, fastest, easiest. Textize Your Business is a framework to layer into your company to add texting. So it can play a part in the life cycle. So everything from lead generation, right? So they could call a number and you could do missed call automation. They could text your number and get in right into it. So you can generate leads, you can engage with those leads, you can qualify those leads, you can capture data, so like email, paint color, you can drive revenue. So you get SMS promotions, right? Drive revenue. You can get feedback. Hey, take this survey. You can generate reviews. Hey, please leave us a review. And then you can get referrals from it. So you can add messaging across the whole cycle.
I completely understand that you've covered the entire marketing cycle with your product, and I get that. But the kind of the thing that I was interested in is where is it predominant in that cycle? I mean, because I mean, I used to sell cigarettes, you know, back in the day, and we had three types of cigarettes, and the middle one became more popular, but the heavy duty one was really, and then it was the middle one, but then nobody wanted to smoke the one without any taste. But they were all in the product range. So you've got all these products, but they might not necessarily have equal value in a sense to you, at least, or maybe to the clients. Is so is the is the if I was to say, okay, this is something I really must do, where am I likely to land? Is it going to be in lead generation, or is it going to be in customer service first? Where do people enter the service?
It's going to be on the engagement side, right? So if you look at any business today, you probably have some sort of form, right? You're generating leads from whatever it is. So they're filling out a form, or you're processing orders. So somebody maybe is buying your product. So all this already exists in a company. What we say is, hey, now rather than having a delay, engage with them right away. So that's like the first thing, and that's the bulk of it. Hey, I've got leads coming in. I need to engage with them and, push them to, this first step. The other parts of that are important too. The marketing side, we have a lot of companies that they have a list and they want to generate revenue. So SMS becomes, or text messaging becomes like the number one way in which they're driving real revenue. So compare that to email, to SMS. SMS will get more clicks, get more engagement, and then drive more revenue.
I've got to say, as an old direct mailman, I do sort of, I recognize how powerful this is. And nowadays I'm a little less biased towards one method or another, but
I definitely get the power of this. And couple of questions though, Chris. Signing up in the first place. Most organizations will probably have a decent database of connections. They'll have had people signing up in the past, they'll have ticked the appropriate boxes, but not necessarily have collected mobile phone number. If you've got an app like HubSpot, especially with one or two add-ins, is very clever at getting you extra information about some of your people. If you're suddenly, say, you're in a position where your email's got poor deliverability, let's face it, that's probably most people these days, and you think, oh, this sounds great. This is a way that I can get much better deliverability to the people I want to talk to. What are the rules like around sending those texts now to your existing list?
So, we have people reach out to us all the time. Hey, I've been in business for 10 years. I have a list. I've been in business for 15, 20 years. I have a list of people. Can I send them a text message? What it really comes down to, at least in the United States, I imagine it's the same, in Europe and UK, is it's all around consent. So no one wants to get an unsolicited text message. And more importantly, it's actually illegal to do that. And so, if you already have an existing database, activate them to join the SMS list. Or, if you already have your web forms, audit them real quick, add that quick snippet of language. So when they fill out that form, now you can send them a text message and start that process. So the last thing you want to do is sort of what we talked about in the beginning. You got a list, you start texting them, and people are like, what's going on? Well, who are you? Right. And then you really just, you don't do that, right?
I have noticed on that point though, Kevin, is and it really annoys me. I think LinkedIn did it to me the other day. Can we do a two-factor validation of
Authentication.
you? So basically, they get your telephone, send you a text, and the text has a number on it. And I've got to admit, I don't know whether or not in the sort of agreement for this, whether or not I've given them the permission to send me text.
Yeah, you will have done for those ones,
But
Greg.
no, but
It's second.
for the two factor, yes. But
Yeah.
I do I want LinkedIn texts? Oh,
No. So
goodness.
like that use case is just for 2FA. So what you're signing up for is just 2FA. You're not signing up for marketing, and now you're getting all these LinkedIn text messages. So, they really keep that separate. So, one of the things around messaging is you have to get approved to send text messages, which is a good thing for real legitimate companies. Before, anybody could get a phone number, anybody could send a text message. And the problem that obviously that creates is, well, anybody can send a text message, right? Yep, and sure. So now there has been this more compliant approach to being able as a business to send text. You got to get approved. Once you get approved, you sort of have this new whitelist, you know, ability to send those text messages.
So the guy with a 10-year-old list then, Chris, he's not going to get anywhere unless he kind of revalidates it, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you got a 10-year-old list. Look, we got a 10-year-old list too, but I'm not going to text them. So it's, you know, the best time, you've probably heard the Chinese proverb, but the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The best time is like right now. So what I would encourage everyone is look at your forms, right? If you have an engagement problem or, you know, that sort of situation, add SMS and you can automate those texts. So when somebody fills out a form, and so immediately now you have a new channel to engage with folks. So you don't want to go back, send mass text to, you know, your list. No one is, you know, no one is above the law in that sense.
No, absolutely. And it's come across several times now, and that really speaks to your ethics and the way in which you're doing business, which is absolutely spot on. Do you have clients though in the UK?
Yeah. Yep.
So basically they're all playing by the rules they have to do. You know, I can imagine it's just as bad in America in a sense of the rule bad as in good, if you like. But they use your platform to spider out the various messages in particular ways. I'm trying to work out what ways. Oh, you've mentioned some of these before. The sort of, you've got different things at different stages of the marketing cycle, sort of thing. But you is there a typical UK type? Do the UK people use it in a particular way compared to the Americans, for instance? Is that something that
you see? You know, it's like, you know, for years you'd always hear, you know, you talk about a strategy and everyone would always say, oh, my business is different. Oh, my business is different, right? And the reality is like business is business is business. And so everyone's generating leads, they have contacts, right? They, you know, need to engage with them. And so, you know, the way in which may differ from a culture perspective. Yeah. But when it comes to an engagement side, you know, more people may use WhatsApp, right? So if you go to Brazil or Latin America, WhatsApp is the way to connect. It's not really an SMS. It's expensive, right? So therefore no one uses that. So I don't think the method changes so much because it's all around solving a problem, right? Hey, my problem is I need to engage with those leads in real time. Hey, my problem is no one is showing up to my meetings. How can I drive people to attend those? Well, let me send a text message reminder around that, right? And that's an instant boost. So
it's got more authority then, has it? The text message. A text message compared to, what would you compare it to now? Can't really compare it to WhatsApp because you can't.
Yeah.
It's certainly got more authority in the sense of, probably authority is the wrong word, but it's got more immediacy. It hits you, and for many people, I don't allow notifications because I don't want to be disturbed by my phone. It's a thing. But basically, but I'll check. But the thing is, if it pings your phone, then you're immediately, you know, it's direct mail. I'm putting in a few weeks before it goes into the post, and it takes some time, and a lot of things can change in that time. So there are some challenges with other media, but when it comes to SMS or texting, blimey, you could have a problem that happened this morning, and well, by lunch you've got a complete campaign out there.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, you know, you got to look at the consumer as well, right? So the consumer appreciates it. So if your only mode of, you know, alerting or informing or getting information to somebody is calling and they're not picking up, you know, one, it's frustrating for the business. And then two, it's frustrating for the consumer. And so the consumer appreciates it. They want to get a text message. And so, you know, we had furniture delivered the other day. I forgot, you know, I'm looking at my email. I'm not looking at when the delivery is happening. Yeah. And then what was great is the day before, they're like, hey, just a reminder, your delivery is from this time to that time. amazing. I texted my wife, hey, babe, make sure, you know, but if they were calling me, I would never know. And next thing you know, now the drivers show up, no one's there. And so, you know, the convenience factor for everyone, you know, it's a passive way to deliver information that's meaningful. And so, you know, if the mode of operation is, well, we got a call, you know, like you're not going to get that out. And so when you need to get a message read, you know, deliver some information, texting is going to be the way to do it. It's not going to be a Facebook Messenger or, you know, WhatsApp again is a channel for different countries, but that's the greatest, you know, it's the best channel.
Yeah. The use case that you just described there, Chris, I think is brilliant. Like you, that kind of text on many occasions, and it's really, really useful. You know? Or the one that's saying, oh, you're expecting a delivery tomorrow. We can give you the time slot now for the delivery or things like that. I think that is incredibly useful.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm really, from a personal point of view, not looking forward to are sales messages coming through that way.
Yeah.
I think really, really useful information it's good for. But if somebody's actually trying to sell me stuff, no thanks. I don't want that coming next.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, no one wants to be sold anything, right? But the reality is when you, let's say you filled out a piece of information about a piece of furniture, right?
Yeah.
How is someone going to get in touch with you? And so they could call, you don't pick up, they send an email and I got to go through that. So it's at the moment when you're interested in something, and it's not a thing, you know, the best messages are the messages that are just simple and personal and real. And so a lot of folks, I think the biggest mistake people make is they take this sort of marketer hat and they go, this is how we do email. All right, let's do the same thing with text messaging. And they write these big, long texts and it's just gross. And so the way to make messaging work is just to be real and normal and natural, as if you're texting a friend. And so, you know, the best salespeople are not selling you anything. They're helping you, you know, get to that next phase. And really, SMS is a tee up to a next stage in your funnel. So maybe it is, hey, let's book a call. Hey, does Thursday at 2 p.m. work for you? No, it doesn't. Hey, what about Thursday at 7, right? And you sort of are using SMS as this channel to, you know, start that relationship, but you're not going to go in for the kill immediately. Now, if you did sign up to get, you know, coupons or discounts, your expectation for those texts are promotional driven, right? So there's context around the text that you would expect. So, you know, I get these hats that I get. I signed up for their SMS list and I get texts about sales and deals. And that's my relationship with that e-commerce company. The relationship I have with a different business that I'm interested in, or, you know, I need to book a demo, that initial engagement is, hey, Chris, thanks for signing up. Hey, and notice you're interested in our product. Hey, when's a good time to discuss this, right? And then we can just book a call over there. So, you know, there is context around how to best use it.
You have a rate on your site there, which is $49 per thousand. This is where you're sending out lots of text messages. That doesn't sound overly costly. It's you know, what's that in English? It's probably about £38, something like that. £37, something of that order. It's not huge, but presumably your average client is using quite a few more than 1,000 in a month or whatever. I mean, you'll have some fairly large users. And actually, it's every single text that you send, even if it's a one word text, it's still going to be £49 per thousand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's a credit.
Yeah.
So if you have a series of 10 messages, because that's natural to your point earlier, then it's going to cost you 10 credits. So is this a new sort of dynamic that you almost have to cost? You almost have to understand what the cost per transaction, per usage is, because it's not quite. It's not the same as other media. And I'm just thinking, how do you help clients come to terms with that? Because on the face of it, it's pretty cost effective. But when you start thinking about using it naturally, shorter text, one word text, poop emojis, whatever it's going to be, they're all going to be a cost per credit.
Yeah.
Do you see the point I'm making? I'm not sure what I'm spending or what I'm likely to spend.
Yeah. Yeah. People that have never used text before, when you ask them, well, how many messages do you think you're going to send? And the answer is, well, I don't know. Right. Yeah. And so
you're always very helpful in life, aren't you, Chris? That's one of
I'm trying. Yeah. Right. Try my best here.
There's an interesting point here. You know, email is by and large free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably one of the reasons.
In my life, it isn't. I sell them by the thousand, but that's another story. But
Hang on. You're selling people's email addresses. You're selling lists. Okay. Well,
I'm selling broadcast, but yeah, but that's the same difference.
But given that I've got a list, I can send people emails on that list, and it doesn't cost me anything to do it.
Right.
By and large. Now, if you're sending direct mail to a list, Graham, it costs you the cost of printing the mail. It costs you the stamp to put on there. So there's a mindset that you go into that says, am I sending this to the right people? No, you're not going to send everybody a direct mail. You're going to send them to the ones that are most likely to respond to the information.
I think that will be true of texting as well.
Yeah, putting the cost on the text, I think, now makes you just think that a little bit more about, am I sending this text to the right people? So actually, I think the cost element of this is a good thing, not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the way, again, people that come in to text, they don't know how to sort of gauge that. So we say, look, cool, start out on a small plan. Start to build it in as your primary use case, right? Most people come in, hey, I've got this problem. Great, let's do that. It's a lead engagement problem, build that in. And then you can start to see. Now, if they've got a larger team, you can sort of do some estimation on, okay, well, each person may send, you know, 300 texts a month, and it sort of gives that. But the good thing is it all scales. And so there's no, you need to be on this plan. You know, there's all different ways to get the credits and all. The truth is the carriers charge money. Right. Yeah. And then, you know, to deliver the text costs money. It's not all free in the sense that email would be. And so, you know, obviously we have a markup on that, but the carriers charge their fees. And so, you know, there is those fees associated with it. You know, one way I like to look at this is, you know, we have a customer of ours, and he was a speaker or spoke at an event recently. There's about 150 people in the room. And for him, it's a lead generation opportunity, right? So he's going through his slides. You know, he has a PDF to give away about, you know, strategy or tactic. And in order to get the PDF, he asked people to text this phone number and, you know, text slides, right? And so while the other speakers were just saying, hey, go to my website, go fill this out, he, you know, drove people to send him a text message. He ended up getting about 100 leads. And so people text in. They get an auto response, he captures an email address, and now he built his list. So you go, okay, well, what's the cost of that, right? So maybe it costs him, I don't know, $8 or something. But in return, you know, what's a lead worth? And so now you get to, well, what's a lead worth? And then what's a customer worth? So it's an exchange of value that I think is certainly worth it.
I think that's a really smart thing to do. Well done him. Is he a friend of yours?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think he might owe you a beer or whatever you drink in Florida. It's probably, you know, a cocktail of some
give me
sort,
a pint.
Isn't it? I mean, you're all very posh down there in Florida.
Don't let the sweater, you know, tell you otherwise. Right?
Yeah. You're going to go from this to a sort of a film set where you're sort of, Miami Vice or something like that, where right, Mark II. But how far are you from Miami and sort of Orlando?
About an hour. Yeah, about 45 minutes, depending on traffic, but 45 minutes to an hour north. Oh,
that's good. I had the pleasure and honor of actually going to Orlando not too many years ago, a couple of years ago. And,
God bless your soul.
Really loved it. I met somebody who was a client at the time in Orlando, I saw the great Dan Kennedy.
I love Dan Kennedy.
I know that you've got ClickFunnels on here as well. So,
I'm a big Dan Kennedy fan. That's how I learned about marketing originally. Dan Kennedy's magnetic marketing back in 2002.
Yeah, if you've got a keen eye, you can see over my shoulder. So there's a Kennedy sort of bookshelf here or two.
Yeah.
But Russell Brunson, I followed for a bit. I kind of fell out.
Yep.
Not fell out, but basically it was too much sometimes. I felt like I was getting sold every second. And sometimes just pause, please. But hey, that's how people are. So, but beyond that, you know, what sales message, what would you say to anybody listening to this? You'd probably say, ring this number, toll free, or whatever it's, is it +1 888 409 2298? And is that a text? You can leave a text there, can you?
Yeah, you can text us at that number. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you see, that's the way to do it. Send a text to that number. All right, Chris, you've been a really interesting guest on the Next 100 Days podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Well, Graham, I can see a lot of sense in what Chris has just been talking about. I came into this thinking, oh, this is just another channel of cold marketing that's going to annoy me. Coming out of it thinking, well, actually, this could be something quite powerful if properly. If you've got a relationship with a customer, then this is a good way of putting good, useful information in front of them at the right time.
Yeah, it's got the guy who's the co-founder of Samcard. He said he tripled his business in less than 60 days.
Yeah.
And he'd used, goodness knows, local ads, Instagram, Facebook, Yelp, even Yellow Pages, but it wasn't until he started texting that he, with sales message, that everything changed.
Hmm.
You know, tripled his business in 60 days. Now, that's real smart of him.
So I know that we've got a problem as a business that a lot of people that we were in touch with regularly and were sending emails about events to and were signing up and coming to our events, suddenly Google, for some reason, started putting our emails in spam folders and things like that. No. And that from our point of view, is really, really annoying. An alternative way of getting in touch with those people that we've got relationships with that have been to events before and telling them about what's coming up is actually quite a powerful thing to have.
I, a few years ago, talked to somebody in the same market and was very, very interested in the solution. But that guy's exited that market now because of retirement and so forth. But basically this is absolutely, it's very similar, I've got to say, but the point is, it's a really good solution. And I would think that many people are going to be exercised by what Chris said today. And it's been a really interesting podcast about texting, SMS, and what that means for potentially business in a relatively short time. It's an immediate medium. So I think it's something worth looking at because the world's getting faster, Kevin.
Yeah.
And on that point, it's going to get really slow at this moment because I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.